Now it's time for real fashion on Pop Off with Mary Jane Pop.
Oh, you betcha, passion and a little bit of challenge and maybe just a touch of fun on Pop Off today. Hi, Mary Jane Pop here, and you betcha, we're going to have some fun things. This is one that you kind of put your hand over your mouth and you say, dare I say, halitosis, bad breath. Well, you know what? It's a fact of life. It's out there. People have bad breath. You just have to face the fact. And we're going to be talking about something that's kind of different. Instead of, you know, the little certs things that you put in your mouth and try and make your breath fresh, well, that doesn't last very long. But there's a new device called a halometer that may be able to help you and kind of track down why you have this thing called halitosis and then how you can get rid of it, maybe forever. So we'll find out about that. Also, if you are in search of that Mr. Right, remember we talked a little bit about that yesterday? Well, there's a gal today who says, you know what? It is just as easy to fall in love with a rich man as it is a poor man. Now, you know, I have some real reservations about that because, you know, when you're looking for somebody who's going to be a mate for life, the dollars and cents is what you care about? No. Is it going to be a good friend, friendship that you're going to have that's going to be a lifetime? Is it somebody you really care about, someone that cares about you? Or is it, you know, just write out a check and everything should be taken care of? Well, we'll find out on the show today because she is a firm believer in it. So she and I may just duke it out today. But first of all, do you sneeze? Do your eyes water? Are you absolutely miserable to the hilt? Well, you're not the only one. I'm telling you, the word allergies anymore is something that people have to face every day. And they're miserable. I have a dear friend I was just talking to yesterday, and I'll have to share that with you on the air. She is miserable every morning. She spits. She runs. Her nose is running. She can't eat anything because she feels herpy. You know how that is. Well, maybe, just maybe, we can give you some suggestions if you are allergy prone. And I'm telling you, it seems like everybody, your body changes like every 7 years. And then that seventh year comes around, allergies are in there someplace. So, your head may be spinning and you may be dizzy. Maybe that's even part of the symptoms that you have when you have this thing called allergies everywhere and not a cure in sight unless you go to those things called prescription drugs, the Zyrtec, the side effects on some of that stuff will scare the bejeebers out of you. Well, that's the reason we've got Anne Marie Wishard with us, Sweet Annie Herbs, because we want to keep it in the natural vein. We don't want to be going out there and getting so many prescription drugs that we don't know what one is doing to the other. Hi, Annie. How you doing?
Hey, Mary Jane. And I am just the person to talk to. Folks, I've had an herb business for 30 years, and guess what? I was allergic to fragrance.
Oh, fragrance?
And I had to mix my own potpourries and my own teas and all that smell and all that herb dust. And I kept going around saying for the first few years, I'm probably going to die of green lung or something. My head would hurt. My sinuses, awful. And you know what?
What?
Because I was so desperately miserable, I started to investigate. And one of the first things I discovered, folks, is that actually at this point I was depressed and I couldn't, you know, smile anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having these awful headaches, and that had nothing to do with the depression, but I was miserable in that respect. Also, I started taking bee pollen. Bee pollen contains quercetin, that's spelled with a Q, Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N. Now, bee pollen, if you're terribly allergic to bee stings, wouldn't be good for you, all of you. But if you're not, you can get energy, cheer yourself up, reduce your allergic reactions. It's incredible. It contains quercetin. So after about 2 weeks, I was Scarlett O'Hara again, smiling and having a great time again. And then after a couple months, the people working with me were going, Annie, you're not complaining about your head all the time. What's going on here?
I
investigated and found out that the quercetin, and you can find quercetin in your health food store on the shelf by itself.
But now, is it better to take it by yourself if you really have bad allergies?
If you really have bad ones, it might be a good way to take it. If you're looking for energy and a lift of your spirits and a, like a natural multiple vitamin, bee pollen is a great way to take care of it.
What's the difference between bee pollen and royal jelly?
Royal jelly is a rejuvenator, and it helps you feel younger, longer. Now, I have the choice of taking all of these things, but if I'm going to give one up, it would be the royal jelly. And at my age, I probably should be on that, but it's a rejuvenator. But the bee pollen gives me a real hit of energy, and I love that. Bee pollen is incredible that way. So the difference is, think of royal jelly as a rejuvenator. Think of bee pollen as your energizer, multiple vitamin, and helps with allergies. And then remember the next thing that I wanted to talk to you about for allergies, and for your friend in particular, if he's not allergic to bee stings, I don't mean if you swell up a little bit, that's no big deal, but if you have to carry an Evi kit with you with a shot, then you might be in trouble. Propolis, P-R-O-P-O-L-I-S. I would not think of going without that. It's antiviral, antibacterial, antifungal. Yeah. Because many times allergies...
Family?
Pardon?
Is that in the bee pollen family?
I call it bee spit, but it's not really. The bees use it to protect their hive from disease. And beekeepers for centuries have been chewing on this. And it is a wonderful way to build your immune system, to help get rid of even allergies to animals. I mean, if you're allergic to cats, dogs.
Really?
This is something, if your friend takes them at night, takes at least 1,000 milligrams of it at night, then when she gets up in the morning, she won't be going and miserable.
Yeah, you know, she actually went to the doctor, had all those darn tests, you know, that to find out what you're allergic to.
Right.
They said she's allergic to mold and grass. Well, you know, how do you
pretty
get
hard.
Away from that?
You just can't get away from it.
No.
The mold is a terrible thing to be allergic to. So remember, folks, the propolis.
Okay.
Now, we put together a FACS, we call it FACS, flu, allergy, cold, and sinus, because my sinuses were so bad, and everybody working around us through the years, decades it's been now, we find people with more and more allergies. I mean, if you have been on antibiotics a lot in your life, then pretty much pretty soon you'll have chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, and weird allergies you could never dream of.
Yeah.
And
okay,
that means...
Let me review this again, just to make sure, because I'm taking notes. I want to take it over to her, because in the morning, for like an hour to an hour and a half, she spits up. It's gooey. She can't even eat a breakfast because she wants to throw up, you know?
That's terrible.
It's awful.
It's draining down to her stomach all night long.
Yeah, and then now it's happening even worse. Now she gets it at night, too.
Well, and so propolis, if I were her and I was in that kind of shape, I would be taking propolis in the morning and at night.
Okay.
It's not going to be too much for her to take, and I would be consistent with it. And if I feel a cold coming on, but I haven't truly, this is amazing, this is the first year I have not had any kind of sniffles for a whole year, but if I feel something coming on or it's a bad sinus day, this heat we're feeling across the country, all this weather stuff can make your sinuses go crazy.
Yeah.
I will take extra propolis during it throughout the day, but mostly I use my FACS formula because it has propolis, quercetin, and all those things in it, and vitamin C. So remember her.
Should she start out with the propolis to begin with?
Pardon?
So should she start out with the propolis?
Oh, I think so. Definitely. Yeah. She should start with that, and remember that she should, most of us think it's summertime, we don't need vitamin C as much. Oh, yes, you do, folks.
Okay.
It's a natural antibiotic. It's good for healthy connective tissue. When you've overdone it, diving off the diving board or in the garden, it helps your joints be healthier. It helps to repair your skin if you've had too much sun. You really need to take your vitamin C, and it really does help allergies.
How much?
I would be taking a couple thousand milligrams a day, time released.
Okay, time
and
released.
And ester C is the best.
All right. Now, let's go back to this again, because I want to make sure, can we overdo it? I mean, should she take the propolis, the bee pollen, and the quercetin, or just start with the propolis?
I would start with the propolis, and then, you know, sometimes it takes more than one thing. Allergies are just insidious. They really are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I would start with that, but I would also then make sure that I consider the vitamin C, because she should do that anyway.
Okay.
And the quercetin she can take later if she feels she needs it. But let me throw in one more thing for all you real suffering people.
Okay.
My sisters, and one sister in particular, even had the surgery on her sinuses. Her allergies were so bad.
Mm-hmm.
She could not get over it. Fungus, allergies, all kinds of stuff, infection, the doctors, all these doctors, they couldn't help her.
Yeah.
She uses the things I've just mentioned, but she also came to my store and bought something called a neti pot, N-E-T-T-I. Do you have one?
Say that again.
Neti pot. N as in never. Neti pot. Neti pot, these are old-fashioned. They look like a little Aladdin's lamp. We have them. Most health food stores have them. Most health food stores are going to tell you have to have special salt, but I just use plain old table salt. I put a pinch of salt in it, maybe 2 pinches, it depends on your nose, and you put in warm water, very warm water, not enough to burn the membranes in your nose, and you lean over your sink, and you bend your head, turn your head to one side. I'm doing this, of course, like you can see me.
Yeah.
And
oh,
you tip the little the little thing goes in one nostril, the little spout, and it goes clear up into your nose, over to the opposite eye, around your eye, and out. It goes through all your sinus cavities and washes out all the crud. So that you don't have, I mean, and you might, if you're blocked up and you can't breathe, and then you do the other side.
Now,
doesn't hurt. It is wonderful for you, and you will never have a sinus infection again if you do this daily.
Now, where do you get the neti pots?
We have them here, but you can find them at your health food store.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they're incredible. My sister, I was still complaining because I'd have bad days,
mm-hmm.
and my sister said, why don't you have a neti pot? Oh, my gosh. I said, well, I don't know. She said, I bought mine from you. Why wouldn't you? So I started to use one. Now there's one on my bathroom counter, mm-hmm. and when I'm not using it to douche my sinuses, which is basically, you cannot sniff salt water up above your eye. You just can't do it. The neti pot does it. Gravity does it. It doesn't hurt. It's amazing. And so now when I'm not using it for my sinuses, I rinse it out and I water my plants with it. It's very pretty. It's always there, and it works.
Amazing.
And you've got it forever. It's a one-time investment. They run around $20.
I've never heard of a neti pot. That's
it's an old-fashioned thing, and it really works. I love them.
You know, there were so many things that Grandma used to do that we used to laugh about. We're going, she was right.
Absolutely. From neti pots to ear candles.
Ear candles?
Yeah, they're a hollow candle. And so when you have bad allergies and your ears get plugged up, and sometimes they get plugged up with just wax and crud, find out about ear candles, folks. It's a hollow candle. You need someone to help you do it just so you don't catch things on fire. They are about 14 inches long. It's old-fashioned. These things are becoming mainstream now. And you put it like a styrofoam plate, put a hole in it, put the candle, the narrow end, in your ear, and you just sit there and relax. Someone lights the end of the candle, the flame shoots up, it sounds dangerous, but it's not, and the warm smoke goes down the candle into your ear. Halfway down, the candle will bend over and creates its own little vacuum system and vacuums out your ears.
You're kidding.
No. I'm going to send you ear candles. They are so cool. I mean, I've had people go to their specialists, ear specialists here locally, and have spent $132, and after being told there was nothing wrong, came in and got the ear candles from us. Well, actually, his wife did. Went home and used them. Couldn't believe what came out of his head. Took it to the doctor and said, look, this cost $5. And his pain was gone. He feels great. He does it on a regular basis.
Well,
it's amazing.
Amazing. You know, you mentioned something about heat. And a lot of people are finding that they're having heat rash, too, now because of this awful heat. I mean, the body is just rejecting everything.
I know.
Is there anything for heat rash that can help?
There are all kinds of wonderful creams. There's a company called Derma-E that is wonderful. Even putting a propolis, if you have the propolis on your shelf and you're taking it internally, if you have a favorite cream, you can break open the capsules. Propolis heals the skin from the inside out. It's a really wonderful, really wonderful product that the bees give us. And you can take the capsule, open it up, and put in your favorite cream, and it heals anything from hives to heat rash almost overnight. There's also a salve you can find at almost any health food store called Golden Healing Salve. Very inexpensive and very useful.
Huh. That is we always think of things like, I was telling my friend, I said, well, the only thing I can think of is calamine lotion, but golden.
Well, calamine lotion, but you know, that kind of, the rashes are terrible, and you could use some essential oils, I mean, that are very healing. Tea tree oil would be a wonderful thing for healing. I mean, you're going to smell a little medicinal, but it really does work. And you can add, you don't have to, like, use it in its form. If you think it's too strong or you want to mix it with something else, you can mix your own stuff. It is okay to do.
Amazing. You know, see, again, the simplest thing to use and things that will not affect the body in a negative way. Because I'm getting so sick and tired of all these commercials that you see on television. They say, go ask your doctor if you need this. Well, I can imagine, hello, doctor, I think I need this drug. And it was so funny because I don't know if you ever watch Bill Maher.
Occasionally, yeah.
Yeah. And he said, doesn't that make your doctor a drug dealer? You know,
yeah, it sort of does, actually. Well, they actually are, but many of them are more open to natural things or more holistic things, and that's wonderful to see.
Yeah,
remember all of it, the propolis. What's wonderful about it, folks, if you don't have a severe allergy to bees, it's available everywhere. You can take 1,000 milligrams every day. even when I had the shingles for the first time in my life about a year ago.
Now tell them what shingles are, because a lot of people don't understand.
It's a virus, you know, and it gets into the nerve endings, and you might show up under your breast. It shows up. It can show up anywhere. It gets near your eyes. They look like little sores. I thought my ribs were broken because I lift heavy all the time. I carry wood and do all the stuff that I probably shouldn't be doing, but do anyway.
Yep.
And when I looked in the mirror after a shower, I thought, oh, my gosh, that's shingles. I knew it because I've written about it. I've taught people work with that. I started taking propolis because it's antiviral. I just increased my dose to like three times a day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Coupled with some lysine three times a day. L-lysine is an amino acid. It's antiviral. They were gone, and I never believed this could happen. 3 days, no shingles.
Okay.
Haven't had them back.
Wow.
Shingles can occur, and they happen to a lot of people over 50 and older.
And they
can occur because
miserable.
You're stressed out.
And I understand they're miserable.
They're very painful and scary. I had an aunt who is long passed on in her 90s, but she had them for 14 years, and I didn't know all this when I was growing up. Now I tell everybody, oh, my gosh, propolis. Not only is it going to build your immune system, it's going to help your skin. It's antiviral, antibacterial, and it takes care of the shingles. And you're going to be a stronger person for taking it. And in the case of allergies, hey, it really helps.
You've changed my ways, because I'll tell you the honest truth. I've been taking the royal jelly, but I never thought about the propolis.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's truly wonderful.
I mean, you know, I like the royal jelly because I think it does give me the energy.
Oh, it does. It's a wonderful product. It's just that I take so many things, and most people wouldn't believe it, but I always take the propolis because I'm working on my immune system, and royal jelly will help your immune system, too, but it's not a natural antibiotic. It's not well, it is a bit antiviral. Everything from the beehive, which is amazing, has a bit of the antiviral, and I believe they're going to find down the road couple of decades that doctors are going to say, well, you need this because you're fighting cancer.
Really?
Because I've had people like, there is a woman called, her name is Heather Remoff. She wrote a book called February Light, and she had ovarian cancer in the fourth stages. They didn't think she'd live. She did what her doctors told her, but she also did what Sweet Annie Herbs, and so she wrote the book and dedicated it to us and her doctors. She took bee pollen and propolis and our tea for cancer and followed the regimen of the vitamins, and you know what? She is not just free. She's totally cancer-free, has been for I don't know how many years now.
Well, you know, Annie, I am a firm believer, and it's taken me quite a few years to get there, but I think the body itself, if the immune system is boosted enough and it's healthy enough, it can fight off anything. It's just because we let our immune system go haywire, and it could be from a variety of things. It could be from stress. It could be from food. It could be from environment, lifestyle, whatever.
And it can be as a little bit of all of those things.
Yeah, yeah. And we
can't
help it.
Your immune system is so important, especially now, folks. Particularly now. I mean, allergies are terrible, but when you're suffering with all the allergy symptoms, you aren't able to even eat and do the right things you should do, and you don't know half the time what you're suffering from and what you're allergic to next. So remember, and antibiotics prescriptions are not the answer. They create a lot of allergies. So, I mean, they might be necessary sometimes, but remember to try the propolis. Remember the colloidal silver we talked about last time I was on.
I was going to ask you about that.
I love it. And, you know, you can even put a little bit of that in your neti pot and put it through your sinuses.
I mean, that colloidal silver is the preemptive antibiotic, isn't it?
You're right. It is, and it's a broad spectrum, and it was around long before penicillin. Mm. And we got so modern, we just thought, well, it's not important anymore. And I know I've told you folks that I have some old pets that need some antibiotics, but they would never take the vet medicine because they'll hide from me for days. But the colloidal silver has no taste.
No.
They just put it in their food or in their mouth, and they think, oh, that's a nice little drink.
Amazing, amazing. Now, if they want more information, and they can also get a whole lot of stuff, I mean, from a variety of things on your website, right?
Absolutely.
And
in a couple of weeks, you'll be able to hear me talking. That's so great. I'm excited.
Yes, I love
to talk.
Well, you know what? I love talking to you because you always have remedies for just about anything in life, you know?
Well, I think we have to have it. It's like having a bag of tricks, but tricks that work.
Yeah, but you've already tested these out. This has been
absolutely.
Yesterday.
And the best part about the things that you and I are talking about is that they will give you side benefits.
Right.
And it's wonderful to know that you can take propolis because you have a bad allergy, but to know that you're building your immune system
right.
in a permanent way while you're doing it,
well,
to know that you're making your life, the quality of life, better.
You know how I feel about it, Annie? If I walk and I rattle with stuff, so what? Who cares?
Yes, right. That's exactly true. Because it's good stuff. It's got rhythm. The rhythm of life.
And the site is sweetannie.com, correct?
You got it, yeah.
terrific. Annie, as always, you're terrific, and I thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Well, it's my pleasure, and you guys, all of you, have a healthy day.
Take care now.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Right, that is none other than Annie Marie Wishard, or Wishard. I pronounce it both ways, but it's Sweet Annie, and she is fantastic. I mean, she got so much on her website. You got to go there, sweetannie.com. And if you do want to call instead and talk to someone, and it could be Annie or it could be Ann, her assistant, it's 800-619-4372. That's 800-619-4372. I got to try that propolis, and I'm going to tell my friend about it. That's for darn sure. On track with the experts on Pop-Off, that's what we always try and do. And speaking about an expert, well, she's an expert sort of on love, but she also talks about you can fall in love with a rich man as easily as you can a poor man. Now, I object to that maybe just a little bit, but we're going to find out from Donna Spangler what her ideas are, and maybe we'll come to some terms and some agreement, but let's find out on Pop Off. Diamond ring, it's the significance of love, or is it? It depends on what your definition of love is all about. Do you get it yourself, or get someone yourself, or do you have someone else get it for you? Like, Donna Spangler has definite ideas. She's a former Playboy model who studied psychology at UCLA. Now, she's no dummy, let me tell you that. She was the first female to create, write, produce, direct, film, edit, and star in an internet soap opera. And in her new book, The Princess Formula, How to Get a Rich Man, Donna says it's just as easy to love a rich man as it is a poor man. Hey, Donna, how are you?
Hi there, Mary.
Nice to have you with us on Pop Off.
Oh, it's nice to be there. Thank you for having me.
Now, I got to ask you,
yes.
Did you get yourself a rich man?
I do, and his name is Richie.
Ricky? Oh, my husband's name's Rick.
That's funny.
I love it. Well, I didn't look for a rich man. I looked for someone, and this is where, I don't know, maybe we can come to some agreement here.
Sure.
Are you looking at the money and the rich first, or are you looking at all the other aspects, like does he have a good sense of humor, does he love, does he care, is he devoted, is he a family man? Shouldn't those come first, and then the rich is there someplace, but toward the bottom?
Well, the way I see it is, yes, and I touch on this in my book, the person needs to have a rich heart and a rich soul. And yes, those are very important things. And of course, they come first, because if you don't have a rich heart and a rich spirit and all the qualities that are upstanding qualities, you're not going to have the kind of a man that you want. But I think that in looking for those qualities, you know how Mom always said, it's just as easy to fall in love with a wealthy guy as it is a poor guy. There are wealthy guys that are good, and there are wealthy guys that aren't so good. There are poor guys that aren't so good, and wealthy guys, I mean, and poor guys that are great. But I'm just saying, for the women that want to have somebody who is financially stable, if you just date financially stable individuals, you will end up with a financially stable individuals. And that's not to say I would preach anybody not to go out with somebody that they liked who didn't have any money or had potential.
The reason I ask is because it conjures up two things in my mind, and maybe because that's the feminist in me, okay?
Sure.
It's sort of like you're looking to be a leech. You know, you're looking for a meal ticket instead of saying, now, what am I bringing to this relationship, too?
I understand, and what I would say to that is, you're not. everybody wants to have the best that they can get.
Sure.
Guys will want to have the most beautiful woman that they can get.
Well, now, wait a minute. If a guy is looking only for a beautiful woman, then he deserves what he gets.
Well, let me just phrase it another way.
Okay.
With men, I mean, we can debate it from now till eternity, but initially, as a rule, they're attracted to looks, and it doesn't mean you have to be the most beautiful thing, but you have to be attractive to them. There has to be something that they're a visual creature, and we're more mental creatures. We're looking for other things. Yes, you know, it's great to have a wonderful-looking guy, but I think as a rule, women look beyond that. So in that way, I think that the female, if she's looking for financial stability, and I'm not saying that's the only thing that you should look for, because you should not have a guy who is if he's wealthy and he's got tons of money and stingy, then what good is he? Basically, if he's going to be stingy with you at this point in life,
you'll find usually that a lot of rich men are very stingy. That's why they're rich.
No, it's not. It's not true. There are some that are stingy. That's true.
Well, I didn't say all. I said a lot.
I think that there are as many stingy rich men as there are stingy people that are below that.
Well, what about just, you get married or you get in a relationship, and hopefully you do get married before you do anything else.
Yes.
And then you build something together.
That's a good point. And that is something that, for example, I'll just let you in on this. Richie and I, we build things together. We have some, I just don't sit on my ass and, eat bonbons all day. I go in the office with him one day a week or 2 days. If somebody calls in sick, I'll go and help him.
Good.
We support each other. And my princess formula is not that of sitting on your ass and eating bonbons and just, having your hand out. It's working together in a partnership. But my whole idea with, getting a man who's rich, not only rich financially, but also rich in spirit and heart, is that in today's world, it's very expensive to live. So in order to have a relationship that goes with longevity, money is an important thing. I know we all would like to not think it is an important thing.
No, it's important. I'm not discounting that. Because we have to survive.
Uh-huh. And the most problems that I've seen with people in general, it all boils down to not everything, but a lot of the main things boil down to money. So if there's a discomfort in the money aspect, then there's a lot of problems. And I've known, many couples that complain about that, and that is their main concern. I mean, it's great for women to work, and I think that empowers us. And I do not suggest that we stop working.
Did you work before you got married?
Huh?
Did you work?
Did I work?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have my own money, too. I mean, I have my own money. It's just that I would prefer, I'd say in my 20s, I dated poor. I dated rich, poor, and in between. And I have to be honest and say that the most fun and the happiest that I was is when I dated guys that had more on the ball than it's really romantic.
Well, yeah, but see, in your 20s, that's because they were able to take you where you wanted to go and do what you wanted to do and buy you the things that you wanted. But when you get to be about 50 or 60, some of those values change.
That's probably true. I'm just talking for the single girls out there who are interested in finding somebody who, who has financial stability. When you get in your 50s and 60s, you may not even want to have a partner. You have different needs, but there are people that I know of, many of them in their 50s and 60s, who say to me, Donna, I would love to find somebody who is supportive of me and who's well off and has all the the wonderful qualities. So I don't think that we should discriminate against finding financial security, because, you know, you think about it, and as females, we're always giving of ourselves. We're raising the kids, and believe me, I know that it's a difficult job to raise kids, because I had to help out with my 2.5-year-old niece when she was 2.5,
mm-hmm.
for several months, because my sister got herself into trouble.
Right.
So it was the hardest job of my life. There is no way that I could have taken on a job, or, you know, I was haggard when I had her.
Out of curiosity, Donna, how long have you been married?
We've been together for over 8 years.
8 years, okay. Mm-hmm. You're speaking to somebody who's been married 35.
Well, it's great.
You know, and believe me, yes, but we worked for the financial security together, because in our 20s is when we got married.
Sure.
But, you know, I don't know. I understand what you're saying, and you should not discriminate against somebody because they have money. But again, look for qualities that are going to be lasting in your life, because the sex lasts just so long, the pretty things last just so long, and then you have to have a commitment, a spiritual commitment to each other that will last the last part of your life.
And I'm not negating that. I said initially that is the most important thing, getting someone who, you know, is rich in their spirit and heart and has
sure.
those positive things that you want. But beyond that, I'm just saying that if there are people out there, for example, why should a girl see? I don't think as females we wake up in the morning or we think, oh gosh, you know, even when we're young, I want to grow up and I want to marry some schmuck who can't pay my phone bill,
yeah.
You know, or we don't, and we can, you know, pretend like it doesn't matter, money doesn't matter, but in the real world, that's what everybody's fighting about everywhere. If you just turn on your TV, ultimately it boils down to money and resources and that sort of thing. So
with you on that, but I also just want to make sure that especially the young women don't look at this, and you're right, you don't grow up saying, I want to marry a schmuck who's poor. But, you know, the guy doesn't want to marry a leech who's just going to marry him for his money either.
And, again, I did touch on that, and I say that, you know, part of my formula is being the best that you can be to get the best person. In other words, you know, a rich guy doesn't want somebody who's just going to be nothing, a nothing person and not help out.
Right.
They want to have somebody who will be supportive of them. And believe me, when you're with a wealthy guy, it's not like you're doing nothing. You do have to pitch in. You do have to help. You have to help, you know, run the household. You have to help, you know, with different things, a lot of different things,
right.
Making sure that they're okay. It's not like sitting down and collecting.
Well, and see, I also admire, because you did work hard, and you know what it's like to work hard. That's something that you would appreciate in someone like Richie, who is also a hard worker, good provider.
He is such a hard worker, and, you know, one of the things that I love about him is he's supportive of me, and I'm supportive of him, and if we didn't have that teamship, so to speak, it would be very, very, very difficult.
You bet.
But, you know, part of the thing I want to impress upon the young girls especially is that in order to get your prince or the person that is as good as you want to get, and hopefully you have high ideals, because having a high ideal for the kind of mate you want in all aspects, you have to have the self-esteem inside, and you have to believe that you deserve it, because believing that you deserve the best is okay. And I know a lot of us think, oh gosh, you know, it's not right for me to want this or want that. And it's not like, you know, you don't need, for example, myself, I'm not really into jewelry or any fancy things, not even designer clothes or anything like that. I'm not into that at all. I admire that and I respect those things, but for example, I tell my sweetheart, I say, I don't want anything like that. You know, help me buy land, or, you know, I'll tell him some other things that are more important.
It's more stability and future.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and those
there you
are
go.
Those
good.
Are the things that I talk about too, is that I give strong direction to people, to the girls, that they need to make their own core future, so to speak, because you never know what's going to happen. If you're with, it doesn't matter who you're with.
Yeah, because what happens when you hit, you know, 60 and he goes to look for 230s?
Yes, or you know, something, an accident happens. I've had friends where, you know, they have young husbands and they die from freak accidents. Not
you
that
bet.
This will happen to anybody out there, but, you know, you never know. I mean, if they're young, old, rich, poor, things always, you've just got to, as a female, make yourself the best you can, the strongest financially, the best as far as your manners, and I really think that it's important for females not to use any slang or profanity, and even consider sprucing up their vocabulary with vocabulary and grammar.
That's called education. That's not a bad thing.
Yes, and even if they don't actually go to school and learn those things, you can go there. Oh gosh, there's a couple books out there, but they have, like, you know, improve your vocabulary in 90 days or something like that, and that's really important because it enriches you.
Well, any sort of education enriches a person, and it could be male, female, doesn't make any difference.
Yes.
But again, you're right, education doesn't mean everything. I have a PhD, so what? That means I was just there long enough and I had the discipline to do it. The discipline is what counts. In other words, if you want to be educated, you can be.
Exactly.
Right. Now, I want to make sure everybody knows the Princess Formula, How to Get a Rich Man. How
do
they get the book?
They can go to Amazon. They can go to my website, theprincessformula.com. Also, if they'd like to email, your audience would like to email me with any questions, my email is on theprincessformula.com.
Oh, good.
Yes, and you can also buy a book there. And if they would like to see the interior of the book, give me an email, and I have a link that I'll send them, because I don't think my webmaster has posted that yet, of being able to view the interior of it.
Fantastic. Well, keep up the good work. You've got your head on straight. There's no problem there. I always like to challenge that, because we don't want to give people the wrong impression. You know what I mean?
Absolutely not. And I really want the single females out there, you know, no matter what they want in life, I mean, as far as a rich or a poor guy, that they just go for their dreams, and they carry themselves in a way that is becoming like, say, Princess Diana, not like a diva, but like a very sophisticated, well-rounded lady that...
Well, and you have to have a dream. Princess Diana didn't take her own dream. She became someone else's dream.
That's true, but the way she carried herself was very, very... very nice.
Of course. Oh, yeah. But, you know,
very nice.
Again, I am a firm believer of this, and see how you feel about this. Don't model yourself after any one person. You look at all the best, and you take a little bit from here and a little bit from here and a little bit from there, and you become the person that you were meant to be, the unique person, not a copy, because copies are cheap copies of the original.
Well, what I think is, yes, you're I like that idea there, and what I say is to emulate the positive aspects of the person that you admire, not by taking on their persona, because that's impossible, but like you said, by taking the positive aspects of the people that you admire and you know that other people admire and look up to, and naturally you will get your own
spin
on it.
Incredible. Thank you so much, Donna, for being with us.
Thank you, and have a great day.
You too, my darling.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye now. That's Donna Spangler, S-P-A-N-G-L-E-R, the name of the book, The Princess Formula, How to Get a Rich Man. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing to get a rich man. Well, you know what? It's not a bad thing to get a rich woman either, if you want to turn that around. And again, the website is theprincessformula.com, and you can email her there too. Be careful what you wish for on Pop-Off, because you never know. You just might get it. I got a couple of things I want to share with you before we do our next guest. This is kind of fun. And this came from a man. Please, don't be coming after me and saying, oh, you women. This came from a very dear friend, but it's a male friend. And he said, this is what they call men speak. I'll share just a couple of them with you, and as the days go on, I'll share more. But these are translations of what men say and for what men say. Like, if the guy is saying, I'm going fishing, That means I'm going to drink myself dangerously stupid and stand by a stream with a stick in my hand while the fish swim by in complete safety. Okay, here's another one. This is called a guy's thing. It's a guy's thing, which means there's no rational thought pattern connected with it, and you have no chance at all of making it logical. Very good. How about this one? Can I help you with dinner, dear? Means, why isn't it already on the table? Uh-huh, sure, honey. Or yes, dear, means absolutely nothing. It is a conditional response. And how about this one? It would take too long to explain, he says. That means, I have no idea how it works. Just a few to share with you. Coming up, though, this is something that a lot of people don't even want to talk about. They kind of go, they put the hand over the mouth, and they go, oh, I think I have bad breath, or the person that I know has bad breath. And how do you deal with that? I mean, how can you tell somebody, you know what, you've got bad breath? And I don't mean, you know, you get up in the morning and your mouth is a little bit dry and pasty. I mean, this is a real condition called halitosis. And we're going to find out what we can do about it, how to deal with it, and even how to measure it. I am serious. You ready for this one? Through the grapevine, too, but that grapevine is a special doctor who is really working on trying to make a difference in people's lives. Do you have it? It's called bad breath. You know, we whisper about it. We don't even want to say it. Well, it's actually called halitosis, and the worry is there. So how do you make it go away? Meet Dr. Gary Hershkovitz. He's head of the Fresh Breath Center in New York City and also in Brooklyn. Dr. Hershkovitz, nice to have you with us on Pop Off.
Thank you. Hi, Mary Jane.
You know, I got to ask you first, what are some of the causes of bad breath or halitosis? Because not everybody has it.
Most people actually do.
And, really?
Yeah, in the morning especially. But chronic halitosis are people who have this all day long, or most times during the day. And it actually comes from bacteria in your mouth. It's hiding in your gums and your tongue. This bacteria has to be there because as you eat food, it breaks the food down somewhat, and you swallow it, and it goes to your stomach.
Mm.
As a natural byproduct of this bacteria breaking your food down, it releases sulfur compounds, and that smells very bad. As an example of the smell, it would be like a rotten egg type smell or a barnyard smell.
Yeah,
it's
very
offensive.
Huh. So we all have the potential of it, but then why do some people have it like 24/7 and it's very difficult to get away from them? Is it just their body chemistry?
For some reason, the people who have this problem, their saliva is not fighting the sulfur compounds well enough. Now, I've had twins come into the office where one would have halitosis and one would not.
Hmm.
So we're not sure yet. The whole technology is only about 15 years old.
Oh. Now, what about dental work? Can that cause halitosis?
Sometimes, if you have gum disease or bleeding gums or broken fillings, those are obvious sources of bad breath. But we're discussing a patient who knows they have bad breath. They constantly brush, constantly floss, and still have a problem.
Now, can it become a serious disease that can cause problems in the body?
Absolutely. The latest technology, latest research has shown that if you have gum disease, that can lead to heart disease and heart problems and overall health problems. The bacteria causing the bad breath will eventually cause gum problems.
Hmm.
So as soon as you get to the problem and take care of it, the healthier you will be, and the better you'll smell.
You know, it's interesting that you say this because years and years and years ago, when I first started doing talk shows, and that's been a long time, I had a couple of doctors on, and they said, really, what happens in your mouth and what is going on in your mouth really is a barometer for the rest of the body. And if you have infections and problems in your mouth, it's going to cause problems in the other parts of the body. And I kind of laughed at that time, but man, that's been proven to be true.
Right. They were very progressive at that time, yeah.
Yeah, it's just incredible. But again, then you have this thing called a halometer. Now, what the heck is a halometer?
Well, you know, halometer, halitosis.
Yes.
It's a machine that actually measures sulfur compounds. So I can get a reading of how much sulfur is coming out of a patient's mouth. Now, this machine was actually originally came into existence to measure toxic dump sites. When the government wanted to measure what's in a toxic dump site to clean it up, they would have to know what's in there. So this machine that detects sulfur was made for that reason.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Yeah.
So we're finding out that you've got a toxic dump site in your mouth.
Well, essentially, yes, right.
Okay. So now that I know that I've got a toxic dump site and I know I've got halitosis, which I probably knew because it was bad breath anyway, then what? What do I do about it?
Well, after we have a measurement and an oral examination, we prescribe certain products to the patient. We have a custom mouthpiece for the patient they wear overnight for a month. And the entire treatment is designed around getting rid of the sulfur. You know, people who are very nice generally will shy away from people at work or in a social situation, a party or at a bar, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy to say that over the years, we've helped people get married. We've gotten a person that special second date. You know, I've had a patient, I recall 5 years ago, a very nice young man, and his wife one morning told him, either take care of your problem or get out of the house.
Ooh.
So it's really a very bad situation if you have this problem.
And it is also a very embarrassing situation for the person who doesn't have it, because in a work situation or a friendship risk or, you know, type of thing, you don't want to go up to a person and say, did you know you got bad breath, and do something about it? You kind of want it because you want to help, but it's an embarrassment for that person, you know?
Well, if you're close enough and friendly enough with the person, you really should tell them. You know, I had a patient when I first started this treatment 15 years ago. She came in and said to me one morning, she went to work and found a bottle of Scope on her desk. That was very embarrassing. Everyone who walked by that desk that morning saw it before she got there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's wrong.
Yeah.
You write a little note if you have to, an envelope, or tell her on the side. But that's a very bad thing to do.
Okay. Now, with all the stuff that we have in the technology that we have in dentistry, and I know you're at the top of the game on that, you would think that we wouldn't have this problem anymore.
Of halitosis?
Yeah, I mean, if we have all the good dental work and you know, we keep up with that from kids on up, and they've got all the high-tech stuff that we do with dental, you know, thing like veneers and everything, how come we still have halitosis? I mean, you would think that would be a thing of the past.
Well, veneers and cosmetic work can still work, and you can still have bad breath, even if your smile is very nice. And again, if someone who knows they have bad breath, and most people know they have bad breath, they keep their mouths very clean. They brush and floss constantly, see your dentist. They may have seen a gum specialist as well.
What are some of the treatments that you do recommend then? I'm not telling people to go out and do this, but
yeah.
What kind of treatment do you work with people to get rid of that sulfur?
Every patient we see has an individualized treatment plan, so I can't give you an overall general treatment for this. It's really individualized. But the common thing we do in most people is give them some special products that actually, very importantly, are alcohol-free. Most of the products you buy in the market today, if not all of them, have alcohol in them. Now, alcohol in a mouthwash, for instance, will actually give you worse bad breath rather than cure your bad breath.
Really?
Yeah, and the reason for that is the alcohol dries your mouth out.
Oh.
And the bacteria causing the sulfur to come out of your mouth flourish in a dry environment. So although the minty taste or cinnamon taste of the mouthwash tries to mask your breath for about a half an hour or so until it lasts,
mm-hmm.
After the half hour is gone, the alcohol starts to work, dries your mouth out, and makes your breath worse.
Oh, God. Now, we're not talking about everybody. When you get up in the morning after you've had a night's sleep, especially if it's warm out, etc., your mouth is a little bit dry and, you know, that kind of bad taste in the mouth. That's not what you're talking about, right?
Well, I can help that as well. Most people I see have chronic halitosis. The morning breath you're discussing, many patients come to me and say, can I help that? Because they want to be amorous with their mates in the morning.
Sure.
And I can definitely help with that.
What do you do?
Special products, mouthpiece again.
Oh, okay.
They wear this overnight.
What does that mouthpiece do?
There's some gel inside of it that seeps into the gum line and cleans the sulfur out.
Oh, I see.
It's very effective.
Amazing.
Now, I had a patient this morning, this meter, halometer, goes up to 2,000, which means 2,000 parts per million. And the machine, the highest reading it goes to is 2,000 parts per million.
Mm-hmm.
I had a patient this morning who came with his wife, and he hit over that mark, just beyond.
No wonder he needed to come in. Whew.
Yeah.
Now, how can they find out more about this halometer? I mean, you're obviously in New York. We can't come out there. We're in the West Coast, or maybe they're in Florida listening, or in Chicago, or whatever.
Well, I've had patients fly in from all over the country and all over the world, actually. People from Europe probably just see me for this.
Amazing.
So if you're in New York or in a short distance, a few hours away by plane, we can see the patient in one visit, take care of the problem. They can fly back home the same day.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, well, they can make it a vacation.
Right. People come in from New York for vacation or business,
actually.
3 or 4 days
over in New York, you'll visit the Big Apple, see some theater, and take care of their bad breath at the same time.
Absolutely.
Now, how do they get more information about you and what you do? Do you have a website?
Yes, there are several ways to contact me. One is by phone. It's 800-55-MOUTH, M-O-U-T-H, or halitosisdoctor.com. There's also a website called brooklynsmile.com with a link to bad breath. Or they can write to me directly at ghgh@aol.
ghgh@aol?
Right.
.com.
Yep.
All right. Let me make sure I repeat all these and get them right. Okay. Any information they can get at either 800-55-MOUTH, M-O-U-T-H, or www.halitosisdoctor.com. Or they can email you directly, ghgh@aol.com.
Right.
Great. Good, good, good. Well, keep up the good work, because obviously, again, the bad breath, if it is continuous and it doesn't go away, is that a significance that it may be something else in the body that may be a bad thing going on?
That's actually very rare. Most people, it's actually an excellent question. Most people think it comes from the stomach. Many doctors also try to treat the stomach with operations or barium tests. Some doctors have gone, had a patient do sinus surgery, taking out their tonsils. I mean, I'm happy the doctor tries to help the patient, but that's the wrong direction. That's very invasive.
Mm.
That is all not going to help someone with bad breath. The only thing that we cannot really treat effectively is if somebody has acid reflux disease.
Oh.
I can help them get their breath better, but I can't get it down to 50 or below on the machine.
Yeah, because that's a continuous thing. It never stops.
Right.
Unless they have, of course, unless they take some kind of medication to control the acid reflux.
Right, that will also help.
Okay.
Medication in general, especially if you have a hay fever or some kind of allergy, and you have these over-the-counter medications,
yeah,
those are all designed to dry your sinuses out, dry your mouth out. That will give you worse bad breath.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
You solve one problem and create another.
Right.
Amazing. Well, Dr. Hershkovitz, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. This is good information. It's stuff that we need to know. The better education we have, the better we know what to do with ourselves and keep ourselves healthy, happy, and stretch-free, hopefully.
Thank you very much, Rajan. Have a great day.
You too. Take care now. That's Dr. Gary Hershkovitz. It's H-E-R-S-K-O-V, as in Victor, I-T-Z. And again, the websites are, it's halitosisdoctor.com. That's the easiest one to remember. Or you can email them, ghgh@aol.com, or you can call 800-55-MOUTH. I mean, if I had a major problem like that, you can make it a 3-4-day trip to New York, have some fun, and take care of your problem at the same time. By the way, I will put all the telephone numbers, the websites, the names of the books, those will all go up on popoff.com. I want to make absolutely sure that I always cover the bases for you on that, because it's sometimes it's kind of hard. You may be working on something else. You may be taking care of something else that you're doing at the same time as listening to the show, and it's certainly not going to help you if you don't have a pencil handy. So I will put all that up on PopOff. That's P-O-P-P-O-F-F, popoff.com, and hopefully that will help you out some. And again, you know, I want you to have yourself a wonderful day, a positive day, a spiritual day, a day that brings the universe to you and whatever is inside of you out to the universe. So as I always say, live simply, laugh often, love deeply, and above all else, dare to dream. That's what it's all about.